Flyers fans, it is an absolute pleasure. I'd like to welcome a former Flyers legend to our show. He played 1,016 games in the NHL, scoring 425 goals while adding 579 assists for a total of 1,004 NHL points to go along with a healthy 825 penalty minutes. Philadelphia Flyers Hall of Famer, Brian Propp. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Oh, yeah, thank you. My pleasure. It's a new year. Hopefully it'll be better for all of us after the year that we've had last year.
I couldn't agree more on that one. It can't get much worse, so fingers crossed for the best. Really, today we wanted to bring Brian Propp on, talk about the state of the Flyers, what we've got upcoming with this season. And really, he was on the main show back in September of 2019. So if you want to check that out, please feel free. But today, yeah, we're going to go forward and talk about where the Flyers are now. Jack, I know you had a question about the penalty minutes, so why don't you hit him with it?
So, Brian, I did want to get your take. I know the kind of player you were, but I also know the time at which you played. And it's been a pretty debated topic on our show for like the last 2 to 3 months. And I see your 825 penalty minutes. Nowadays, I don't even want to discuss the role of the enforcer as much. I want to discuss just the overall teams and the whole grit factor. And we've gone back and forth on, while most of us miss that portion of the game, and obviously it's still there, how important do you feel it is in today's game, where some people think it's at the forefront of the chemistry that makes up championship and playoff teams, and what you went through as a player, where do you think that is now and how important it is? And do you think that the players that do have it really need to be able to play, or is there a role for guys who can just bring that gritness and that heart and soul for the team?
Well, over the last few years, the hockey's changed a little bit more. Now there's more skating, and the guys are a little smaller but faster, and you can't get in many fights. But it's still important for the Flyers to have a tough team because in the bigger, bigger players like Washington with Wilson, you know, they can run into you and play physical when it comes to into the playoffs. It's going to be a little different this year because we were playing just against their own division and a lot of teams games against them. But which is nice because when I started in '79, there was less teams in the year in the league, and so we got to play a little bit more in our own conference. And so this is a little different this year. But yeah, I think you know, the Flyers have really adapted pretty well. They have really good goalies, and they have their young defense has been playing really well, and they're tough to play against. That's not so much about them being physical. Like everyone would love to have a pronger again, but that doesn't come too often. And but the way that they've set it up, I know that they're doing a really good job with the coaching and the players that they have.
Yeah, and it just feels like, because you brought up Pronger, and it's like that guy was the perfect mix of everything. But the main thing was he could play in all situations, and all that hitting and the grit and being afraid of him and keeping your head up when you're on the ice, when he's on the ice, was great. But he was there because he could play. And as the league changes and it's only going to get less, move further and further away from that, I just feel personally, as much as I love that grit, that we need to get better talent-wise and maybe adding some of those grittier players maybe right before you get into the playoffs, because they help wear down some of the other team's top stars. But I did want to ask you how that's going to be this year, though. This is a unique year, and with playing, like you mentioned, when you played there were less teams, and now because of the way the divisions are set up, I can almost see a need for it now. If you're seeing these teams, not only are the rivalries going to be ramped up, but you're going to be playing a lot of games, like 7 games or 5 games in 7 days and whatnot. Do you think it's even more important for this season?
I think it'll be real tough because they have so many games that they have to play against each other. But it's nice because the coaching has done a really good job of putting the 4 lines together, which you're going to need. Of course, with Hart as the main goalie, if we play with a lead, that would make a big difference, so that we're not chasing him all the time. But I think that the coaching have done a really good job of putting the team together and having four good lines, and so that they know what they're there for. Now I think they're talking about Moran as a new defense, as a forward, you know, a big, tough, strong guy, you know. And so like that could make a difference too, just with a physical play and just by playing smart. And that could be something that we've been missing. You know, and of course, we still need somebody that scores a lot more, like more consistently.
And go ahead, Steve, because you know how I feel about that with some of the rumors the Flyers have been involved in.
I mean, I think what you're getting at is Line A, and having a guy like that would be wonderful. I mean, scorers like him don't grow on trees. He's a big body, and he'd be nice to have, but like you brought up with Moran. I'd like to see what he could do on the wing, because I do like his game. I think he tries to model it in that Pronger-esque kind of nastiness. So it'll be interesting to see. Back when you played, did you feel like the divisional matchups had some extra juice? Or did you guys try to take every game in stride? Like it didn't matter who you were playing against. You were just going out there and giving it everything you had, no matter who it was.
No, I think it's the divisions make a big difference, because there's so much points available. If you win, you pick up extra points, and then they fall behind. And so it makes a big difference in the division play. So like that's why it's going to be different this year, because every game is going to be very close, and everyone's going to be watching. And, you know, say if you start slow, you might not ever get back in the race. And so, and I think that they're talking about a winter game with this year. So in February, so that would be nice, a little change. It's so different with the last year's gone. I mean, I know that the Flyers, were trying to win a Stanley Cup, but the Islanders kind of beat them a little bit in the game six or seven. So they're in the right way. But, I think that for the division plays, I like that. It gives you more of a chance to win against them straight out.
Yeah, and you brought up the Islanders last year, and kind of something I'd love to just get your thought on. Did you feel like there was anything the Flyers were missing in that playoff series? They kind of looked like they got outworked against the Islanders. Was there any one thing, or do you think it was just one of those instances where the matchup just favored the Islanders? Or was maybe there this it factor that they might have been missing, or was it just goal scoring? Trying to put a handle on that.
Well, I know that I was in the Stanley Cup Finals my first 13 years consecutively, and I was in five Stanley Cup Finals in those years. And so that was almost every second year I was playing in a Finals, but I was always there and helping to produce. I know my first year in 1979-80, we went to the Finals against the Islanders, and we lost in overtime. Otherwise, we could have won a Stanley Cup there, the bad call that we had. other than that, I learned from that. I was young, and Bob Clark was a leader and taught us the right way, and we had good coaching. And then after my second and third year, I got roasted because I wasn't scoring in the playoffs. And so I learned from that you have to be the best player on the team when you get into the playoffs. And so I learned from that. And I think that a lot of the veterans that haven't been producing the last couple of years, you're out. But you have to be much better in the playoffs. And even like the scores, and it made a big difference. And so you're coming from behind, but the goalie played really well, and we have a good chance with Hart and Elliott and the young defense. But the veterans have to be playing much better in when they get into the playoffs.
So one question I had about the playoffs, since you have so much experience, and it's going to be an interesting perspective, because you were in Stanley Cup Finals pretty much from your rookie year, as you alluded to. But we were discussing, yes, we want to make the perfect recipe for a playoff team. But one factor that I just feel like that sometimes you just need playoff experience as well. And did you notice, as you know, the Bob Clarks and the Bill Barber started to retire, and yourself and guys like Rick Tocchet and Davey Pullen and Tim Kerr started to take over, and that became your team, that to get back to the finals, you did need a little more – you had more experience than some of the other guys, at least at first. But as you got more of that experience, did you see the team advancing through the playoffs better and finding themselves in situations where they've been in before and know how to handle them? Because part of the reason we feel like the Flyers got eliminated is they didn't have playoff experience, and some of their early Dave Hakstol runs really barely were playoff experience. They were kind of out in five or six games, where this was their first quote-unquote run.
Yeah, I agree, because you know, but the coaching have done a really good job of preparing for the team, and so you know, and now that everything's kind of even, you know, when the playoffs come in, like it's a tough season, and like even against Montreal, they had trouble with Montreal, and but you know, thankfully Hart is one of the best goalies that we have in the future, and he can win us a lot of games, and they can play from ahead, and but you know, but I think it's nice mix of veterans and young players that you just have to learn from them, and they have to lead by example, the veterans especially, because you know, if you don't score, it doesn't help the team, because one goal could make a big difference. And even in against the Islanders, like in their playoff, didn't do that well. I mean, the power play didn't do that well, and so like that was a big problem, because you know if you're a good power play, you can win a couple games, and then you can keep going on from there. But I think that the Flyers coaching have done a really good job of staying out of the penalty box and giving themselves other opportunities, even against the Islanders, and so I think they're in the right place.
You brought up the power play, and I do want to ask about that, because it's almost like they flopped for the last about two seasons ago. Our power play was lethal, and the penalty kill had issues. Now they've addressed the penalty kill, and it's back to being what it was in, you know, the late, like 2010-ish, when they had their cup run and Mike Richards was doing his thing. Kevin Hay seems to be that guy now. Carter Hart's best penalty killer has got to be your goalie, and he's really good. But now the power play seemed to have gotten into a pretty bad drought, and I think it could have made the difference in the Islander series. From a player's perspective, and yeah, I understand the game does change, how much do you think that is the coach needs to change up either the personnel or the system, or what is the first thing that usually changes when it's such a bad drought like that?
Well, I think that in the 80s, when Mike Keenan was a coach, like if we struggled on the power play, they'd put other people in, you know. But I think that in the playoffs, the top players, they get the ice time, but they don't perform that well. So I think that makes a nice idea of them to try some other things, you know, because even if it's not your scorers, it's the guys that are working hard that get you the goal. It's like the tough goals that you get, like going in the front of the net, you know, making sure that you hit the net and that you're taking the body out, and it's tough in the playoffs, because you know that if you one goal can make a big difference. And so and you know, as I mentioned before, like we'd be nice if we had a scorer consistently, like a Tim Kerr or Ovechkin and things like that, because it seems like their team is like everyone's just kind of even, and there's no one to kind of be the main goal scorer.
Yeah, they're kind of missing that sniper that no matter where he touches the puck on the ice, you can see it in the back of the net. TK was probably the closest thing they had to it, and his goal scoring dried up in the playoffs, and it just, you could see it really hurt him. So maybe fingers crossed, we'll be seeing one of those snipers soon, but you never know.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, like with a young player like a TK, you know, he could be he could be putting on more pressure on himself rather than just relaxing and just playing the right way. Like you try too much and it doesn't work. And so that's where the experience makes a difference with veteran players that you play with. But, you have to still stay in front of the net, do the best thing you can. Shoot all the time. Like in the playoffs, it makes a difference if you shoot and hit the net and just go for the rebounds. If you don't shoot, then it's kind of easier for the other team.
Did you have anything that you kind of try to do if you got into a goal scoring slump, or was it one of those things where, like you said, you just keep doing the little things and eventually the goals will come?
Well, I learned pretty when I was young, like the first couple of years, because we had a sports psychologist called Steve who helped us with and of course having Mark Howe on the team was amazing. He's one of the best players I've ever played with in the Hall of Fame, and but you know, he did it, made it so much easier. Like, and when Brad McCrimmon was there, you know, we had plus every time, and so. But for me, my first couple of years, like when I didn't score in the playoffs, I did Steve Rosenberg, we did a video or kind of a relaxing and thinking about what you had to do to be a better player. And so from that time on, like in the 84 on, like I learned that I had to be a much better player and score goals in the first round, because if you don't get in the first round, then you're out right away. So you have to be consistent. And I've always really consistent, throughout my whole career. And that's why, like, you know, I'm glad I didn't play later. And people would remember, that I wasn't producing. And so, a lot of these guys, they want to play longer. Like, you know, look at Chara. Like, how old is he now? Mm-hmm. He's like 70.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
And but, you know, he wants to play in Washington. And so, like, it could make a big difference having a guy like that that's a leadership. At that time, it's time. Hey, listen, he's getting slower, and it might be time for other team to take over.
Yeah. So, kind of bringing it back to some of the division play. Was there anyone when you played back in the Patrick Division on a team that you loved playing against? You knew you had their number, or someone that you hated playing against? You knew they were going to be on you all night. Or any of those kind of head-to-head matchups that come to mind?
In the 80s against the Devils, they were really bad. And so, I loved playing against them because we won all the time. But I loved playing against the Rangers because I liked when I scored and kept them quiet and played physical and it had some. But the Islanders were really tough too, because they were so good at, in the 80s, it was different in that time, the last 10 years, like, because Edmonton was good and the Islanders were good, and then we changed the divisions, and so we played against ourselves, and that made it tougher for us to get through. After the 90s, when the Russians came back into the league, because before they were had to defect if they want to play in the NHL. And so I think from 90 on, it kind of changed the whole outlook of the NHL, with all the countries all over the world trying to play in the NHL. And so, but it, for me, it was fun in the 80s because we had scored a lot and we had some fun and enjoyed it. But for the playoffs, it's key, because you have to get into the playoffs, and that's the real key, because this season goes very fast, and then you have to make sure that you just have to be ready for every game. But this is a nice opportunity for the Flyers to show where they are.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's going to be an interesting season. Do you think playing divisional teams 7 to 8 times a year, do you think that's going to help the product on the ice, maybe towards the end, hurt the product? And in terms of that, do you think no fans is going to kind of have an impact on the way the game's played? I mean, I know they did it in the bubble, but doing it in the regular season, I think, is a little bit of a different animal than trying to get up for 56 regular season games seemingly without fans, at least at this point in time.
Yeah, so I think it'll be a little different because now you can play in your own rink. So it, even if you don't have fans on it, but it gives you a feel of you know, you're at home. And like, and look at the Flyers at how they did in the, at home last year. I mean, it was pretty amazing how good they did. And so that makes a difference. But I think having the fans behind them, not you know, being patient and listening what's going on, but as you said, like playing six or seven times against another team, you know, I like it. It's different, but it'll be a nice challenge.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, and I think you might see some more of that added intensity that normally a regular season game wouldn't have. So it should be fun. I think the NHL's done a really good job of getting everything set up, and we're about to hit the ground running here.
Yeah, also, like, you know, like there's all Canadian teams too, like in one division. So like that's a little different too. But I think in Canada, they're so nuts about hockey that it'll be interesting to see how they win. But, you know, also the last couple of years, the Canadian players have been getting in the playoffs. And so, you know, they're playing at a high level. And, you know, so like it'll be interesting to see, like, the division is really tough, like, for the Flyers that we have right now. So it'll be really interesting as we see. But I think as the Flyers are gotten better, I think the Pittsburgh has gotten worse. So like that makes a difference. And Boston, I'm not sure where they're going to go. They've got some older guys that are kind of getting older. And you know, so I think it'll be a good year for the Flyers.
Yeah, and Jack and I kind of touched on that in one of our earlier shows. I think Boston, people want to keep picking them, but to me, they're Boston in name only at this point. I think they've lost a lot as far as leadership and maybe some goal scoring goes with some injuries. I'm not quite as scared of them as what they've been the last few years. So kind of nice to see that our sentiments are felt elsewhere too.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it's nice because we're so close on the East. Most of my career, I played for the Flyers, and it was close to, you know, we bust to the Devils, the Islanders, New York, and took some trains in Washington. So we were at home a lot more than most other teams. So that really helped with the travel that we didn't have to do. But I think it's going to be interesting, you know, like Tampa, like won the Cup last year, and you know they had the defenseman that took it all, and but they had the good teams and they forced all the time, but you know they also have a good goalie, so it's so nice that for all of us to have a number one goalie that will carry the team for years to come, and so it's only been a time before they're going to win a Stanley Cup.
I'm glad to hear that. It's kind of brings me to my next point. As of now, where do you see the Flyers in terms of the division? Do you see them finishing atop it, maybe top three? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, what do they need to? Where do they need to have to be? Like
third, top four. Top four three. Gets them in the playoffs.
Yeah, so like I think that should be fine, and I know that like in the round robin last year, like they won every game, and so that they got a bye, which was nice because like Pittsburgh was knocked out right at the start, and then Montreal, and then so the higher you get, the more of a time it'll give you a chance, like football, like you if you have a bye. You never know who gets injured and then where the teams sign up. But, you know, it's really going to be important for them to be in the top one or two.
Yeah, it's kind of how I'm feeling, too. And I think they're in good shape. So, Jack, anything else you got?
I just wanted to ask you, you had played for Philly for so long, but you did get traded to Boston. And I do feel like these teams are, as much as we dislike each other, that they are somewhat similar. I know you had played with one team for so long, so it was a culture shock in general. But did you notice any differences when you went there at all with the fans, with the makeup of the team and whatnot? Or are there any big differences or a lot of similarities between the two teams?
Well, I think when I got traded to Boston, like I was injured for 27 games with my hand because I had a clot in my hand, and so like I had some time off, and then I came back and played a couple games, and then you know, Boston was the number one in the league, and then Dave Poulin got traded in January when I was hurt, and then they brought me up with a month left to go in Boston. So I think that the Flyers were looking for a couple of leaders. They wanted the younger guys to take over, and that didn't work for 5 years. They didn't make the playoffs, and so it was good for me to have Bob Clark trade me at that time, because it gave me a chance to try to win a Stanley Cup. And then Bob Clark was fired with the Flyers, and they took me to Minnesota because I wanted to play in Boston, because Boston and the Flyers are the same type. Like, they had tough players, good fans, good to be with. And so I would have loved to have played with Nealon and Bork a little bit more. But they didn't offer me a contract that was worth it. And so I moved to Minnesota for 3 years. And then we went to the finals in Minnesota, too. But at that time, it was, we were the last, in the division. But we had good team. And so we got in the playoffs, and then that's how we made it to the Stanley Cup Finals, is because we had a good power play, we had good players, and then with a play like Bob Smith and myself that were leaders, it really made a difference just for us to win against Chicago and then Minnesota and then St. Louis and then Edmonton and then play against Pittsburgh. And so for me, I only had a small time and then went to the finals. But I would have loved to have played in Boston again. But, of course, thankfully for me, Bob Clark brought me to Minnesota.
Yes, yeah, that's what I thought. I feel, we definitely are at each other's throats with Boston, but we are very similar. And I think that's true even to this day. The only other question I had is, because now anytime something goes down, the rumors are so plentiful and they're so easy to access. It's just silly, and a lot of stuff gets lost in translation. One of our writers for our site just put out piece where a lot of deals that came down to the wire. And he did mention one from the 80s that involved Bob Froese. Unfortunately, Pelle Lindbergh passed away and that deal got nixed. My question to you would be, now any of us can look this stuff up now, even if the GM has a thought, like it's on a website already. But back then, everybody was kept in the dark. I mean, you guys, when you were drafted, now you see how it's publicized now. I think you got a phone call in your dorm room or something. Did you ever hear any of these whispers, even before yourself getting traded or a teammate? Did you hear something was coming down the pipe, or it was almost always a shock?
No, at that time, I was aware, because I was with the Flyers for 11 years, and we saw a couple other guys leave, Ed Snyder's son was going to take over the team, and so that didn't work. He wanted to get rid of the contracts that they had. Even at that time, we weren't making that much. I mean, it was, it's all about leadership and having the right people leading and be a leader for the team, and back up what they do in the playoffs and play consistently, and just to make sure that you're doing everything the right way. And so that's why Dave Poulin and I, we were two of the best penalty killers in the 80s. And so that's, I think, why they had us there. And then we also went into the finals. And, Edmonton was tough to play against because Tikkanen was a good checker. And so I know the finals, Nealon and myself, it was tough to score, but and also the goalie played really well for Edmonton and Ranford, and so and then of course the first game in triple overtime didn't help, that we lost at home, because that makes a big difference. Like you win the first game and you give a chance to keep sweep the team. And so that's really different, but unfortunately for me, it didn't work for me, but we kept battled, and but it was I've been proud of the time that I've had playing hockey.
And that makes sense, and I can see why you would say that. So I mean, other than how do you think the Flyers – I mean, we have pretty much went over that we think that they'll be fine. They should get a playoff spot. What are the odds you give them with – because it is a tough division – that they take the division this year. They take that next step. They are down Matt Niskanen. They tried to fill some holes, but they have the goaltending, which you alluded to. They have the veterans. They are kind of missing that sniper, that guy you look to put the puck in the net. They have some guys that they want to do that, but such as JVR, but they're not always putting him in the best position to do that. Do you think they can get the power play right? And I don't want to say surprises because they were one of the best teams before the stoppage last year, but do you think they could take this tough division?
Yeah, they should. It depends on the young guys because Langberg, like the guy that had cancer, and also like if the guy from Brandon can play again, and then Provorov is a great player, and so they're getting more time with the young guys on the power play. And that's what I think they need. They need to have their the young guys have more balance on their power play because that could make a big difference. And of course, they're put together really well. I mean, as long as they don't get hurt, it could be really good for them. And I think that but it's going to be tight, and you know, everybody that we know is going to be watching us. But you know, like as you said, having a good goalie and young defense and a good team around you with good coaching, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think we're hoping to see that team that was playing on all firing on all cylinders right before the stoppage, and because they got the talent. And like you said, and I agree with you, Pittsburgh took a step back, if you ask me. Washington definitely got some leadership, but I don't know how I feel about them in general. I do think they were kind of falling back. The Islanders are probably one of the team that it gets not talked about enough, that we just don't seem to play very well. We'll see what happens with Barzal, but they could be right there. And you made a good point with Boston. They're getting older. They're losing some guys. They didn't exactly replace Chara or Torey Krug for that matter. So it could go either way, but I definitely like our chances, and it should be an interesting year.
Oh yeah, I think so too. And so, like, as long as we're playing hockey in another over a week, and so I'm excited to watch a little hockey.
Yeah, it's finally coming back. That's what we're talking about.
Can't wait. Brian, I know you've got some things going on these days, some Guffaw cigars, a couple charities. So please, if you can enlighten our fans, let them know what you're doing these days.
Yeah, so like I've been working with Wolf Commercial Real Estate the last 6 years, and we've always run a couple of celebrity hockey events for the six charities that we support. We always had six former alumni split up the team, so there's two teams with two goalies each, and then lines of three. So it makes it fair, and then but it's here for charity. And so we raised a lot of money just from our hockey. The last hockey game, we raised $80,000, and now we've got a couple of golf tournaments that we've done at Ramble Red. And we give money back to the charities. And last year we raised $40,000 for the golf. And so it starts adding up, and the charities that benefit. And for me, you know, I just started with my Guffaw cigars from the Dominican Republic about 6 months ago, and it's going really well. I started with 425 boxes of 10 for my 425 regular season goals, but I wanted something that was quality, and all the time the boxes that I've given to people, they really liked them. So that's what I wanted. I didn't want something cheap. I wanted something that was quality. And so I've sold like 270 boxes right now. I only have like 150 left, and hopefully they'll go fast. And then after that, I've got boxes of five for $60, they make a nice gift. And so there's a mild, a medium, and a Maduro. And then I've got boxes of 24 and bundles of 25 for about 9 or 10 a cigar. But they're quality. And as I get better with like the new golf clubs and working with them. You know, I'm hoping to just to get everything going on. But so if people want to go, everything's online, but I always have cigars with me at my home in Haddonfield. If people want it, I can deliver if they're close. And then, everything's all online. And so like, if they just go to my, GuffawCigars.com website, there's a lot of information on that. And then also, every box that people buy, I give percentage back to Bancroft Brain Injury, because I'm also the ambassador for Bancroft, in New Jersey and PA. So I am their spokesperson, for the brain injury people and stroke people. And so like, I don't know if some people don't know, but I had a massive stroke over 5 years ago. I couldn't talk, couldn't walk, I couldn't say anything. So I've come a long way. I have to slow it down when I speak because I still have aphasia. That's why I get mixed up with the guys' names every once in a while. That's why I have to say Sweet or the guy that had cancer or the Brandon guy.
Some of these names, I don't blame you.
But other than that, it's been going really well, and I'm really enjoying where I am. Unfortunately for the I'm not the ambassador for the Flyer this year because they don't have hockey. So I'm hoping that I can keep that next year when they get started again.
Oh, that's really incredible. And it's really, like I said, it's an honor to be talking to you, especially after having something like that happen to you. I'm really, really happy to see you're doing well. And hopefully you can keep on going, and maybe one of these days me and Jack will get to try one of those cigars.
Oh yeah. Well, if you want, like, they're really good. And so you just buy a 5-pack for $60 and then it'll have it in a week. And there's 2 mild, 2 medium and a Maduro. That way you get a choice. And then you have to tell me how they go.
We become avid cigar smokers. I'm on the site right now. It's very user friendly, which I like. You can navigate it pretty easily. Lots of pictures. So I definitely like that. for somebody who had, and I read your story, and for somebody who had as bad as a stroke as you did, you really wouldn't even know the difference. It has been over 5 years, but we talked to you two years ago now, and you sounded just as good as you do now then. So congratulations on that, and it's good to see what you're doing, and we'll definitely be getting into some of these cigars here. I can promise you that.
Yeah, all right, good. I like that.
Yeah, and thanks again for joining us. It was great talking to you, and hopefully we can do it again, maybe celebrating a Flyers playoff run with a captain with a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that would be good, and so I'll be here watching and cheering for them too. Yeah, thanks, Steve and Jack.
Yep, thank you, Brian.
Thanks again, Brian.
Okay.